Today's shiur is Daf Kuf Chaf Hey. We're going to begin on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim HaNitolim B'Shabbos, all utensils that can be moved on Shabbos that are not muksa, Shivreim Nitolim Imahem. If they break, pieces that break may also be moved. However, Uvad Shi'osim Ein Melacha, they have to be somewhat usable. For example, says the Mishnah, Shivrei Areva, broken pieces of a mixing bowl, L'chaseh Ben Esar Chavis, could be used if they could be used to cover the mouth of a barrel. Shivrei Zechuchis, broken pieces of a glass jar, L'chaseh Ben Esar Piyapach, if they could be used to cover a pitcher. Yehuda Omer, Rehuda is machmer. He says, "Bavachi oisim ein melachton." They have to be usable for something similar what was their original use. Therefore, he explains, "Shivrei reva." The only time you can move a broken mixing bowl is lotzus l'toicha mikvah. You can still pour like oatmeal porridge into it. Versus chuchis and a broken glass jar, lotzus l'toicha shemen, if you could still pour oil into it. That means, according to Yehuda, it has to be something similar to its original use. It's important to say, as we begin this shiur, that the halacha, and that's the way the Shulchan Achara paskens, and that's the way Rav Moshe paskens in the Shalos Tshuvos, is that it's not just even if we're going to pasken like the Tanakama, that as long as it's usable, it's not muksa, it has to be a usability that we actually will do. For example, if we speak about a broken keli that can be used, the broken pieces of it can be used to cover something, that was in their world where they taka did that. But in our world, where we don't take broken pieces of glass as a bottle cap, the halacha will not be that you're allowed to use it under those circumstances. Now, there's an interesting ha'ara from the Ishei Yisrael on our Mishnah. He says, when the Mishnah gives us examples of broken utensils, the Mishnah gives two examples. It gives an example of a broken mixing bowl, and it gives an example of a broken glass jar. So he asks, why do we need two examples? We could give as many examples as you want, but what's the point? So he says, the chiddush is that even though an areva, even though a mixing bowl is muksa, because it's a kli shlemlachto l'isser, and because you're not allowed to knead a dough, knead with a K, a dough on Shabbos, still, if it breaks, it will be mutter to use if it has a usability. So the machloek is how to understand what he's saying. And it really goes back to something we discussed in the previous year. Is pshat, because really, as we said yesterday, something which is a kli shemlach delis is really not mukser. It has limitations. You could only be moved l'tzar gufa and mekaymoy, but it's not really mukser. So that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Or perhaps the Mishnah is saying, no, kli shemlach delis is certainly a mukser. But just like a kli shemlach delis may be moved l'tzarech gufoy, so too the broken parts of the kli shemlach d'l'isser may be moved l'tzarech gufoy. The Magen Avraham points out that our Mishnah is discussing something that's a kli shemlach d'l'isser. But if something is a muksa machmas chsaron kis, that means, let's say something is an expensive item, in the way we defined it earlier in the week, it's muksa machmas chsaron kis. And now that breaks in Shabbos, and once it breaks, it's no longer muksa machmas chsaron kis, it isn't that valuable, so now maybe it shouldn't be muksa. Of course, the halach is you will not be allowed to move it, because if something began Shabbos as muksa machmas chsaron kis, just because it breaks, it does not lose that status. Begins the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Mishmuel. Machloikis, the machloikis that we have in our Mishnah about the broken kelim is shenishbru me'erev Shabbos, if they broke from before Shabbos. The Marsover, Rabbi Yehuda holds me'ein melachtem in only if they can be used for something similar to their original use, then they are not muksa. Mei malach acheres, but the fact that they have usability, but it's not similar to the original use, loy, they may not be used. Omar Sover, the Tanakam holds, afir me'ei malach acheres, even if they can be used, even though this use is not similar to the original use, the halacha is that it's still not muksa. Avon nishbur b'Shabbos. If they broke only on Shabbos, the rehakol mitarm. Both Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama will agree that it's not muksa. Why? Ha'ol mechanim al gabi avian. Since, as we always explain, the defining moment for muksa is bein hashmoshes when Shabbos begins, and since at that moment they weren't muksa, mutter they remain mutter on Shabbos even if they broke. Of course, says the Ritva, they have to be usable to some degree, because if they're totally not usable, even though they were not muksa bein hashmoshes, they will become now muksa because they are now muksa machmas kufay. Master of the Droy asked, it says Mesech Debeya Mesikim Be'em Be'kelim, we could throw into a fire as fuel kelim, utensils, wooden utensils, they mesikim shiver kelim, but we can't throw in broken utensils. That means the example we use will be a chair. You could, on Yontif, you'll want to make a fire, says the Gemara Mesech Debeya, you could throw in a wood chair as fuel, but you can't throw in a broken chair. The reason you can't throw in a broken chair is because it's muksa. Now the question is, Dizbru Amos, exactly when did this chair break? Elaim the Nizbru Meir of Yontif, that they broke before Yontif. So Eitzim Balman and who? This chair was broken before Yontif, and therefore is now regular firewood. And why should you not be allowed to move it and throw it into the fire in Yontif? Ella b'Yontif. What must have happened here is that it broke on Yontif. V'ketani, yet, what does the Gemara say there? Mesika b'kelim, vei mesika b'shiver kelim. We could only use whole kelim, we can't use broken kelim. So obviously, we have a Tana that holds that if a keli broke on Yontif, the fact that it was okay, the fact that it wasn't muksa bein hashmoshes, is irrelevant. It broke on Yontif, it doesn't have the same status as it doesn't have the same use, rather, as it had before Yontif, and that's why it's muksa. So how are you telling me that if it breaks on Yontif or Shabbos itself, it's no longer muksa? Says the Gemara, Eli Itmar, Hachi Itmar. This is the way you have to explain. Amar Yudah Meshmul, Machloikis Shnishbur B'Shabbos. The Machloikis is when it broke on Shabbos. The mass of a machuhun, the time kama holds, that as long as it can be used, it's not muksa. A mass of a, Rabbi Yehuda holds, noilahu. There's a new concept. Since it's not similar to what it was, since its use is not similar to what it was used previously, so now we have a concept of noilad. It's a new thing, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's a type of muksa and it's also. Avam Erev Shabbos, if they broke before Shabbos, the Verhakol Matarim, everybody will agree that it may be used on Shabbos, no matter what its usability is for. However, Chonol Mechel Bajoyim, since it was broken before Shabbos, before Yontif, so I had a chance to redesignate it, and therefore, it's Mutar. Now, there's a Machloikis, Magen Avraham and Taz, how to explain this. The Magen Avraham says that the machloikus of the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is noilet considered a type of muksa? The Tanakam says that noilet is not a type of a muksa. Rabbi Yehuda holds that noilet is muksa. Why? What's pshat in this mahalach? So Mefarshim say pshat is like this. We know that for Shabbos, for Yontif, the Torah says v'chinu. We have to prepare. Now the question is, what does that mean? Does it have to be an active preparation, or does it have to be that you didn't designate it not to use it? You weren't maxed. Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to actively designate it. And if it's noilet, so this noilet means it's a new utensil. This utensil wasn't here before, on Shabbos, before Yontif, so you certainly couldn't prepare it. If it's not here, you can't prepare it. So that's why it's muksa. The Tanakhama holds, it's not that you have to actively prepare it. It's just, that's not, just now I'd be maxadas. You didn't put it out of your head. Certainly you couldn't have put this out of your head if you didn't even know it's going to come into existence. However, the Taz has a different explanation of the machloikis of the Tanakhama of Yehuda. They, according to the Taz, everybody agrees that Noilid is a type of muksa. The machloikis is, the Tanakhama holds that as long as it is usable, that is not Noilid. Rabbi Yehuda says no. If it's usable, but it's not usable similar to its original use, it's already considered Noilid. But according to the Taz, everybody subscribes to the concept of Noilid. Says the Gemara, Tani Chada, we learned the one Braisa, Masikim Kalim, Vei Masikim Shiver Kalim. We could use for fuel Kalim, utensils that are whole, Vei Masikim Shiver Kalim, but not broken Kalim. Tani Yidich, another Braisa, Sheish Masikim Kalim, Kach Masikim Shiver Kalim. We could use both regular Kalim and broken ones. Tani Yidich, and the third Braisa says, Ei Masikim Loi B'Kalim, V'Loi B'Shiver Kalim. Neither. Explain it to Gemara. Harav Yehuda, the first price holds like a Yehuda. So Yehuda says, well, kalim that are not muksa, you could use for fuel. Broken kalim are noilid, and they're also. Harav Shimon, the second price that follows of Shimon, that doesn't hold of muksa, and doesn't hold of noilid, and therefore you could use both kalim and both shiver kalim. And the last price is Reb Nechemya. You can't use shiver kalim because they're noilid, and you can't use kalim because, as we learned, Reb Nechemya says, that ain keli nittel, el tzarech devar hanittel. A keli can only be used for its designated use. And this is not a designated use of a chair as fuel. Chairs were made to sit on. The truth is, all the Rishonim explained that we could have said that the second brisa that says he could use both is going according to Rameya. Because the Tanakam of our Mishnah, as we will see, is Rameya. Just, why does the Gemara identify it as Reb Shimon? Because since throughout Shas, we know Reb Shimon is the man, the Omer, that doesn't hold of Muksa, and here we're saying we're not holding a Muksa, that's why we identify it as Reb Shimon. But it's Rameya also. Omer Rav Nachman, Hani Livni, these bricks, Dishtayim Binyana, that are left over from construction, Shalala Tatulun, may be moved on Shabbos. The Chazul Lemizgolayu, because they could be used to sit on. So even though they're usually used for building, but since they're leftover bricks, they're not going to be used for building, and they are not muksa. However, Shaginu, if they were stacked, they were stacked to show that they're going to be used for construction. Vadek tzinu, they're certainly muksa machmas kufa, and they may not be moved. Or Rav Nachman Amishmul, cheres ktana, a small piece of earthenware, mutal atatl b'chotzer, can be moved in the chotzer, in the courtyard, because they can be used to cover up kalim. Rav Nachman the day Amar, Rav Nachman says, a feel of a caramelist. They can even be moved in a caramelist. We spoke about many times in the beginning of the Masech that caramelist is an area that's somewhat similar to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and somewhat similar to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Midrabbanan, you know how to carry from Rosh Hashanah Yochid or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a caramelist, or carry Dalet Amos in a caramelist. Shmuel is teaching us that you can move this broken piece of cheres inside the Rav Nachman rather is teaching us that you could move it even in a karmelis, because sometimes people sit down in a karmelis and it has a function that it could be used to cover up their spittle that they will have in the karmelis. Abrishus Rabim, but in Rishus Rabim he will hold loy, that you're not allowed to move it, because there it's going to be considered that it has no use and it's muksa. Rava Omar feel Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Even in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where seemingly it has no use, it still may be moved and it's not considered muksa. Vazir Rava Tamei, Rava followed his own psak. The Rava Kaval also brisk the Mechuzah. Rava was once walking in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Mechuzah. Itzve Masa Netina. His shoes became soiled with dirt. Also Shamus, his Shamus came along. Shakl Chaspa, Bekot Mechapalei. He took a piece of broken earthenware and began to wipe the mud off the shoe. Rabbi Bar Rabbanan calls. The Rabbanan began to shout, how are you allowed to move this? It's muksa. Amar. So Rava said to these people, Loim Estayed Loim Gemiri. Not alone do they not know how to learn, Migma Nami Gemiri. They teach their wrong psiske halacha. They teach their erroneous psak to others. Il b'chatzoy hava. If I was in a chatzor, don't you all agree that it's not muksa? Why? Because miloy chazil chsui beimona, because it can be used to cover a utensil. Hachnami chazil adi, it's fit for me to scrape off the mud from my shoes. So even though, Rashi explains, that's not the real purpose of a broken cheres, that it should make it not muksa, but pshat's like this. Since it's not muksa in the chatzar, says Rav, as long as it has any use in the Rishus HaRabim, it's not muksa. Now, the Sfas Emes asks, how is Rav so comfortable to allow him to move this broken cheres? Perhaps it was specifically thrown out by the person who owned the cheres, and who, the person by throwing it out showed that it's nothing, it has no value to him. And now it's like Avon and Mitzroy was thrown out pieces of stone that everybody agrees that they're Muksa Machmas Gufoy. So Chasam Sofer answers that the only time we say that if something is thrown out, we know it's not, it was been totally disregarded, is if it's found in a garbage dump, in an ashpa. But here it wasn't found in an ashpa. It was found in a Rishus HaRabim. So even the person that threw it out, says the Chasam Sofer, what he was doing when he threw it out, he was saying is that whoever will pick it up should decide what status it has. And if it has use to him, then it certainly will not be muksa. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Megufas Chavish Nichtasa, the lid of a cask that broke, Mutl Tatl B'Shabbos, could be moved on Shabbos. Tanya Mehochi, Megufas Nichtasa, the lid of a cask that shattered, Hu Vishreh Mutl Tatl B'Shabbos, could be moved on Shabbos. Now there's a Machlokes Rishonim, how to explain this Gemara. Rashi says we're referring to the cask itself. However, the Ran explains, and so says the Ritva, that we're not only talking about the cask itself, we're even talking about the covering of the cask. And the Chiddush is that even though we're talking about a cover of a cask, which really isn't a very significant item to start off with, still, since it had a use, it's not muksa, and if it's broken in Shabbos and it still has a use, it remains not muksa. However, v'lo yisbois m'mene shever, somebody should not repair one of these broken pieces, lechasis basically, to form it as a battle cap, or lisvach bakarimita, to use as a leg of a bed, because as Rashi explains, that would be already mak bepatish, mzorkel ba'ashpa, but it was thrown into the trash heap, osur it's osur. Maskel over at Papa, so our Papa asks, Elamat, according to this, Zorgel Glime Hakanami Dosser, if somebody goes and throws his coat into the garbage, will you say, if you threw into the garbage, it's muksa? So the Ritva asks, he doesn't understand Rav Papa's question. Can you compare a broken piece of earthenware, of cheres, to a good coat? So Ritva says the Gemara is just trying to make a point here. Just like if you throw something, a good thing, the fact that you throw it into the garbage doesn't make a difference. So we're saying the broken earthenware is not muksa. Why is throwing it into the garbage make a difference? Elam Rapapa, so Rapapa says, Im Zorkim by Joim Lashpa, if somebody threw it during the day, before Shabbos into garbage, Asura, then it's Asur. Because by throwing it into the garbage, the person has indicated before Shabbos that it has no use as a utensil, and therefore it's Muksa. But the Rishonim point out, that's only going to be on a broken piece of Cheres. What's going to be the Halach if somebody takes a good coat and he throws it into the garbage before Shabbos? It will still not be muksa, because the fact is that this is a good coat, and just because you throw it into the garbage doesn't make it into muksa. Continues the Gemara. Amar bar Amduria Mishmul, Krumish Machzelis, shreds of reeds that become detached from a mat, mutl taltolim b'Shabbos, may be moved on Shabbos. My Tama, what's the reason? Amar Rava bar Amduria Asbarili, Bramdura explained to me, Machzelus Gufal Maichazia. What do you use a mat for? Lechsuya Bayafra, to cover dust with it. Haninami Chazia Lechsuya Baytanoifis. These detached shreds are also suitable to be used to cover dirt with them. Now there's a very big machlokes with Shoinim in explaining this Gemara. Because Tosfos asked the question, we paskin like the Tanakama. So why does the Gemara say, now according to the Kama, as long as something has a usability, even if it's not its original usability, it's still not muksa. Yet here the Gemara is saying that it has similar usability. At the beginning it's used to cover up earth, and now it's used to cover up. Says Tosfos, doesn't have to have the same usability according to the Tanakama who we paskin like, as long as there's usability. So Tosfos says, you're right, it doesn't have to have the same usability. The Gemara said it, l'rafcha de milsa, but as long as it has usability, it's adequate. However, the Rashba and the Ritva say that this is different, because since shreds of reeds are so insignificant that when they become detached on a week or day, people throw them completely out, here everybody will agree, even the Tanakama, that they can only be considered not muksa if it has usability similar to its original usability. Amrav Zeir Amrav, Shiar Paras Munoyus, remnants of a talus, Osel Tatolim B'Shabbos, can't be moved in Shabbos. Amrav Baya, Memetlani Shesh Ben Shalos Shalos, we're talking in pieces of garment that are less than 3 etzpos by 3 etzpos. T'lechaziv Loi Lanim V'Loi Lashirim, because they're totally not usable. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that we're talking about the remnants of a talus that was used for a mitzvah. So since it's a talus that was used for a mitzvah, nobody could possibly use this only for a significant use. What is a significant use? To use it as a patch in a nice piece of clothing. But you couldn't use it as a shmata, as a rag. So that's why it has to have at least the size of 3 etzpos by 3 etzpos, then it can be used as a patch. However, according to Rashi, let's say we started off with a garment that wasn't a talus, so it doesn't have the concept of bizui mitzvah, that you have to worry that you can't use a remnant of it for something unsuitable, then the halacha would be any size would not be muksa, as long as you could find a use for it. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that any garment, any piece of material that's less than 3 etzpos by 3 etzpos is totally useless and cannot be and will not be usable in his muksa. Tana Rabbanan, Shivrei Tana Yoshin. If a broken old oven, Harei Kikala Kelim HaNitolim B'Chotzer, they're like all other utensils, and they can be taken in a courtyard. Divrei Rameya, Vudaimer Ein Nitolim, they may not be taken. Heyed Rabbi Yosef Mishum Elezer Ben Yankov, a Shivrei Tana Yoshin, the broken pieces of an old oven Shnitolim B'Shabbos, that they may be taken on Shabbos, the kisuyov, and the cover of an oven, Shein Tzorach Besyada, does not need a handle for it to be allowed to be moved on Shabbos. Something we'll talk about more in tomorrow's year. But Maikim Mefki, what is the Machloikis? Omer Abaya, Ba'oisim Ein Melocha, if they are usable, Ve'ein Oisim Ein Melachtik Mefki, but not their original use. V'az Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, Rabbi Yehuda follows his Shita, that has to, that in order that it should not have a problem of noilet, it's not enough that it should be usable, but it has to have a similar use to its original use. Rameh Tamei Rameh holds his shita that as long and has any use, it can be moved. Masklov Rava asks Rava Ihachi, if that's the explanation, Adam Miflgi B'Shivri Tana, so why are they speaking about broken pieces of an oven? Liflgi B'Shivri Kelim B'Alma, let them talk about any keli, let them talk about any broken keli. They're talking about this specific oven. Just let's explain how the ovens in those times looked. The way an oven looked was, it was like a large bottomless pot. That's how it looked. It was a bottomless pot, and they would put it on the earth, and they would put a fire inside it, and on top of it they would put the pots or whatever they were cooking. That's how a regular oven looked. Now sometimes, instead of just placing this bottomless pot on top of the earth, they used to put it into a pit in the earth. So it says the Mishnah in Masechta Kelim. Nasna piyabal piyados. If somebody put this oven, this bottomless pot, over the mouth of a pit, or over the mouth of a cistern, the Nasan Sham Evan, and he puts a stone there to wedge the oven in, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im masik melmata vunisik melmala. If he can heat the oven by lighting a fire underneath it, on the floor of the pit or cistern, and it will heat effectively above, the food on top of this will get cooked, tameh, it's considered a keli. Vimlav, but if not, tar, it is tar. The Chum say, however, husku, as long as it's heated by any means, tameh, it's mekabel tumah, it's considered a keli. B'maikamafki, ask the Gemara, what is the machlokes? Says the Gemara Bahai Kra, this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Tan of a karam yutatz, an oven or a stove that become tamei. In order for them to become tar, they have to be demolished, because we know that since they were made out of klicheris, since they were made out of earthenware, the only way they can become a tamei earthenware, the only way they can become tar is by breaking. And the pasuk says, tameim heim, they are tamei, but tameim yu lechem." So, before we begin the Gemara's point is going to be that in this pasuk there are two issues. One is the language of yutatz, demolishing. Usually, when the Torah wants to teach us that for a keli to become tar, you have to break it, it says yishover. Here it says yutatz. So the question is, what does yutatz represent? Also, the other issue with this pasuk is the pasuk says tameim heim, and then the pasuk repeats itself, v'tameim yu lechem. So the question is, what is the pasuk repeating the words v'tameim yu lechem? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Sover, mechusa netitza tamei, an oven that needs netitza, needs demolishing, that means it has to be attached to the ground, then it can be mekabel tumah, she'em mechusa netitza, but if it doesn't require that kind of demolishing, it's not attached to the ground, Torah, it's not considered Tomei. Rabbanan Tzavrei, Tomeim Yu Lechem, Mikom Mokim. They're always susceptible to Tuma, whether they are or are not attached to the ground. Ask the Gemara Rabbanan Nami Haksiv Yutatz. It says the word Yutatz, which seems to indicate that it's only Tomei when it's attached to the ground. It says the Gemara Ahula Idach Kisa. The Rabbanan used that pasuk for the other direction. Because the Sakadat Chamina, I would think, Kivin the Chabri Ba'ara, once I attach an oven to the ground, Kigufi the Aradami, it should be considered like the ground. And we know that normally anything that's Mechubala Karka is not Mechabal Tumah, anything that's attached to the ground is not susceptible to Tumah, Kamash Malon. That's why the Torah teaches us that a Tanur is an exception to the rule, and even when it's connected to the ground, it's still Mechabal Tumah. Vidach Nami, ask the Gemara according to Yehuda, Haksiv Tmeim Yulachem, an extra word to Tmeim Lachem, what is he going to do with that? Says the Gemara, somewhat of a reinterpretation. Hahikud Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, like Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul explained. Don Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Machloikas Behek Secretion. In those days, the ovens, until they were heated up the first time, were not really considered usable. The first heating was a crucial heating. So that's Pshat. The machlokes of Yehuda and Tanakama is when you heat it up the first time. Tanakama holds that even before that, it's already considered a keli. Rabbi Yehuda says that no. Avol toli b'tzaver gomel, if the oven is detached, av b'hesek sheni, once it was heated up the first time, and now we're talking about heating it up the second time, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, I feel tall if it's a gummel, even if it's hanging on the neck of a camel, it's still going to be considered a keli. Says the Gemara, Amu'ula, the Hesek Rishon Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, even before it was heated up the first time, I feel tall if it's a gummel, even if it's hanging on the neck of a camel, it's still going to be considered an oven. Now, this is a very nice machlokes about ovens. How do we relate this to our Gemara? So this is how we have to. This is how Rashi explains. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a new oven doesn't become a keli as far as tumah unless it is attached to the ground for the first heating. Rabbanan hold that it's considered a keli no matter what the circumstances of the first heating were. Rava says that this very same machloikis will be relevant to Hilchas Muksa. The Braisa is talking about the broken pieces of an oven that was heated up the first time while it was detached from the ground and then broke. Rabbi Huda, who does not consider the oven a utensil even when it was whole, because since it wasn't heated up the first time when it was attached to the ground, will hold that the broken pieces are also not considered kalim and are therefore muksa. Rameya, however, will hold with Rabbanan that holds that the oven is utensil even when it was not heated up when it was attached, and therefore the broken pieces can be considered kalim. Maskevlor of Ashi, Ihochi, if that's the machloikis, that the machloikis revolves around the status of a oven that was heated up the first time, not attached to the ground, Adam, Mifkli B'Shivrei Tanner, what are they arguing regarding a broken Tanner? Mifkli B'Tanner Gufa, let them argue about a Tanner itself. Because, Hashta Tanner Gufa Rabbi Yehuda Lava Mana, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the oven itself is not a keli if it wasn't heated up the first time when it's attached to the ground. Shvar Meboya, is there a question about the broken pieces? Ela Maravashi Loilan Kamerikar. We go back to our original explanation. That it's usable, but it's not usable for its similar to its original usability. Why? Because the Oysa Masa Tafka, it can be used as a tile. In other words, you have now a broken oven, and you take this piece of earthenware, and it can be used as a tile, that you can put a food on it, and put some heating element below the tile, and cook or bake the food. Ramei Ledvarav Rabbi Yehuda Kamer. Ramei is speaking to Rabbi Yehuda, and he says like this, L'didi afil b'ismei melocha. To me, this tile would certainly not be muksa. Why not? Because it has a usability, as we just explained. And according to Ramei, as long as it has any usability, it's not muksa. L'didach, avil didach, according to you, oidli mea the kahai gavnim laftahu, agree to me at least here that it should be not muksa, because it has a similar use to its original use. It can be used as a heat to cook. Rabbi Yehuda loidami, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not considered similar. Why? Usually an oven has the fire inside it. Here by a tile, the fire is under it, not inside. Furthermore, the heating is from outside. Furthermore, like we explained at the beginning of the Masechta, how did they bake? They bake by putting pieces of bread against the wall, loaves of bread against the walls of an oven. You can't do that on a tile. You just can lay it flat. So it's not considered similar. And as we've been saying since we learned the Mishnah, according to Yehuda, to be considered, for a broken thing to be considered not muksa, it has to be not just usable, but it has to have a similar use to its original use. Says the Gemara, Hey, Rabbi Yoitz Mishnah Lezman Yankov, Al Shivrei Tana Yoshish and Ton B'Shabbos. That broken pieces of an old oven can be moved on Shabbos. For kesuyav shein tzarich b'siyara, and that the cover of a oven doesn't need a handle. Amar Avina, k'mamet tatinah idna kisutana the masa machasya. According to whom can we nowadays move the ovens of the tana machasya that don't have handles? Daylan b'sachiz that don't have handles. K'man k'rebelezer b'yankov who holds that it doesn't have to have a handle. And like Tosfos points out, we're going to learn tomorrow on Daf Kuf Chavav and Beis, really this is Rabbi Yossi Shita also, that it doesn't have to have a handle. So why are we attributing it to Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov? Because we know throughout Shas that Mishnosoi Shor Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov is Kavinoki. Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov's halachas are always perfect, so that's why we have Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov passing this way, we know that's the halacha. Says the Mishnah, Ha'evin Shebekruya, a stone that's in like a pumpkin. In other words, they used to take out the insides of a pumpkin and use that as a pitcher to pull water out of the well. But it's very light, so it will float on top of the water. So they put a stone into the shell, and says the Mishnah, if water could be drawn with this emptied out pumpkin without the stone falling out, because the stone is securely attached to it, Mimalimba, we could draw water with it on Shabbos. Memlav, and the stone, even though the stone is normally muksa. Memlav, but if not, Eimim Malamba, we cannot draw water with it. Zmaira, she shura betfiach. A wine from a grape tree that is tied to a pitcher, like to be used to draw water from a well. Memalim Baba Shabbos, we could draw water with it on Shabbos. By tying the branch to the pitcher, you made it part of the utensil. Now, the Mishnah now begins another din, which we're going to learn the way Rashi learns, both in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, is not as much of a shaila regarding muksa, but it's a shaila regarding boina, building. Pekak chalon, a window shutter. Rav Lezer Omer, v'zman shu kosher v'toloi. If it's attached to the building by a rope, and the rope is so short that the shutter is suspended from the floor when it's not in use, then piking can bar. So then if you see me putting this board against the window, it's obvious that this is the window shutter, and therefore it's not considered binyan. Vimla, but if it doesn't have these two requirements, that it's tied and suspended from the ground, ain't parking can. We can't shutter the window with it. We could do it under both circumstances, and the Gemara will explain what Benkach by Benkach means. Tanan Hossam. We learned in the Mishnah, later in the Masechta. Evan. And again, we have to repeat. An Evan is Muksa Machmas Gufoy. Shalpia Chavis. That's on top of a cask. Now, you have your barrel of wine with a stone on it, and you want to be able to get to the wine. So the Mishnah says, Motat Sida Vina Fellas. Somebody could tilt the cask to the side that the stone will fall off and get the wine out. Says the Mishnah further, let's say this barrel of wine was amongst other barrels, and if you're just going to tilt the stone off, it's going to fall onto the next cask and break it. So then the halacha is you can lift it and move it away and there tilt off the stone. Amrav Ava, Amrav Ami, Amrav Yochanan, Loi Shana B'Shecheich. This halacha was only taught when somebody forgot the stone on top of the cask before Shabbos. Ava Meniach, but if somebody left the stone intentionally there before Shabbos, Nasa Bosses L'Davar Oser, the cask becomes a bosses to the stone and may not be moved. Because as we know, any bosses can't be moved on Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Shana El B'Shecheich. This halacha was only taught when he forgot. Av v'niach, but if you left it there intentionally, so what did you show by leaving it there intentionally? Nasa kisu l'chavos, that you want to cover the chavos with it, and then you can move it outright, because it's just like the cover of the chavos. The stone now is not a stone, the stone now is a chavos cover. So here we see the nafkamina between shecheach and miniach. Shecheach is if you forgot it, if you forgot it, it doesn't become a bosses. The meniach, if you put it specifically, it becomes a bosses. So the mefarshim, the Truma Tadeshin brings a shaila. It's a shaila that could be halacha l'maisa. He says, what happens if we'll identify a wallet as muksumach muskhsar and kiss? And I put my wallet on top of, in my closet on top of a shirt Friday afternoon. It's not that I dafka wanted it on top of the shirt. I left it there, I'm just emptying out my packets before Shabbos. Now Shabbos morning I want that shirt. Is that considered shecheach and it will not be a bosses? Was that considered maniach and it's a bosses? So Truma Sadashin says that's maniach. I put it there. I knew what I was doing. The Magen Avraham, and that's what the person who asked the question of Truma Sadashin holds, I didn't dafka want it on top of the shirt. I want it in the closet. I put it on top of the shirt. It didn't dafka have to be on top of the shirt. It could have been anywhere in the closet. And that's why it's not considered maniach. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Masvina Mishaita, will ask a question from our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Evin Shbekruya, the stone that's in this cut, this emptied out pumpkin, in the mound of a Nefelas, if you could use it without the stone falling out, Mimalimba, then the halacha is that you could use it. So we see that when a stone is put into utensil, it becomes part of utensil and not muksa. So why is here different? Says the Mavalahi, the comparison is not good. Hasam in our Mishnah, Kivin the Hatka, since it's firmly put into the pumpkin, Shavi Daifa becomes part of the shell. And that's why it's not muks anymore. It's part of the picture, so to speak. In our case, however, he merely placed the stone on the cast. He did not fasten it, and that's not why it's not considered part of the keli. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, my Svina Shmaitz, the way I explained it could be asked for our Mishnah. Imlav, what did it say in our Mishnah? If he did not put the stone firmly in, then you can't use this cut out pumpkin. So we see that a stone which is merely placed in a vessel but not fastened to it doesn't become part of the keli. And here you're saying that as soon as I put it down, it becomes the cover. Says the Gemara Velohi. Again, that's not a good comparison. Why is not a good comparison? Hasim kim d'loy hotka in our Mishnah, where if you don't fasten it securely, batuli, it's useless because the stone will fall out. That's why it's not considered part of it, and it will be a bus, and the pumpkin will not be a bus d'varasa. Here, it could serve as a lid even if it's not fastened. Says the Gemara, but my kamufki, what is the machloikas? Masova, being a maisurava, Rav in the name of Ami, in the name of Yochanan, holds that you have to do a significant act of preparation to make the stone into utensil. Just placing it is not enough. Or masova, Rav Yosef in the name of Asi, in the name of Yochanan, holds, like being a maisa, it's your mental intention which is enough. Vazu Tamayu says the Gemara, this is really according to the Shitas. The Chos Rav Dima Amar Rav Chanina, family Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav Chanina, Pam Hachas Holach Rabbi L'Makam Echad. One time Rabbi came to a certain city before Shabbos, Matzah Nabek Shlavonim, and he found a row of stones that had been prepared for building. Vama Talmidov, and he told his Talmidim, Tzu V'chishvu K'day Shinesh V'Lein L'Mecha. Go and have intent that the stones should be designated as seats so we could use them tomorrow. Rabbi did not need that they should actually do anything to the stones. Even though the stones are muksa, just the mental intent was adequate. Rabbi Yochanan said, Hatzrichen Rabbi Lemaisa. He said that they have to do an act. May Amalahu, what was the Maisa? Rav Ami said, Tsu Velumdam Amalahem. He told them, go out and put the position the stones so where they are for Shabbos. Rav Asi Amar Tzuva Shifshu from Omalahu. He said, go and actually clean them. So you see here, the Rav Asi says that wiping them is enough. Rav Ami holds that you have to do more, you have to actually position them. Ask Tosfos, obvious question. Here, we're saying the Rav Asi's Lishitosi. In our Gemara, by the stone on the cask, what Rav Asi say? Just thinking is enough. Here he didn't say thinking is enough. Here he said you have to wipe him. So how could you say that? So now we have a problem. Is Rav Asi say mental intent is enough or an action is required? So Taisha says Rav Asi is always the maker. In our case, by the stone on the cask, mental intent is enough. And here he says the wiping is enough. But why is wiping required here? Why isn't mental intent enough? So Tosfos explains. Tosfos says, you always have to look at the situation. A stone on top of a cask can be used as a cover. Since it can be used as a cover, so therefore, it's not that far-fetched, and it's enough just to think. A stone that was bricks that were made for building, thinking is not enough. You have to do some sort of action. Rav Asi is saying the minimal action of wiping is enough. Itmar. Rav Yosef ben Sholoimer, Sur Shal Karis Hava. It was a stack of beams that we were dealing with. Rav Yosef Gshoy Shal Svin Hava. It was the pole that was used by ships to measure the depths of the water. Mandam Gshoyish, according to Mandam that says it was this pole, Koshkein Tzor, because a Gshoyish, as we'll learn, is certainly more muksa than a stack of beams. Mandam Tzor, the Mandam that says it was a stack of beams, Av Gshoyish, regarding a pole that's used to measure the water, that the ship shouldn't get stuck in shallow water, that's Kapalei, people are makbar on it, and it's muksa makhm Tzor and Kis, and that this kind of intent would not be enough. Now, we had spoken this week that a machloikas magen Avraham Rav Kiva Eger, if somebody could sit or have anor from muksa. Rav Kiva Eger said he can't. Magen Avraham said he may. And actually we said the Magen Avraham Pesach was really a Rajba. But here it seems that Rabbi Kiveg is right, because Rebbe, they just wanted to sit on this. And even though they just wanted to sit on it, the Gemara is saying that they had to do some sort of an action or machshava, whatever, to take it out from being muksa. Why? If according to Magen Avraham, according to the Rajba, you're allowed to sit on muksa, so what's the difference? You shouldn't have to do anything. So the Rajba says, Pshat Gemara is not that they just wanted to sit on it. Rebbe said you're going to want to sit on it and move it. Move it, everybody agrees, if it's muksa, you know how to move. That's why he told them to, before Shabbos, do something that it should remove its muksa designation. But there's an interesting word from the Stipler, from the Kelos Yankov. He says that there are two types of muksa. There's muksa, which is muksa b'yadayim, like a noilad, or a muksa machmis chasson kiss. He says that type of a muksa you taka nalar av hanoah from. On the other hand, which is the type he says is now Gemara, we're dealing with the stones which are used for building, which muksa machmis chasson kiss. However, a muksa which is only muksa like a keli shemlach del iser, which is a lower degree of muksa, there is where the Rajba will say that you could sit on it without any problem. So he's sort of in between the Rabbi Kiveg and the Magen Avraham. It depends on what kind of muksa we're talking about to determine if you're allowed to have a noah from it or not. A noilid muksa machsar kiss, he'll say like Rabbi Kiveg. A klish machdal iser, he'll pass like the Magen Avraham.